This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're talking to Matthew Bowers from Majestic Giraffe and chatting about J.J. Abrams, the Star Wars sequels, and lots of other fun geeky stuff. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And as stated in that intro, Matthew Bowers from Majestic Giraffe, our new podcast overlord, is here on the show with us today.
I actually prefer God Emperor.
God Emperor. Okay.
What about Gatekeeper?
Gatekeeper
or keymaster?
I think would be more appropriate.
I'm not the gatekeeper in this situation. Then I'm just going to throw that out there now. No. Sorry.
I feel the need to clarify that you guys joining Majestic Draft was not incumbent on me guesting on the podcast. This wasn't part of the deal. I didn't force you guys into this.
You have to have me on the podcast. Sign here with blood.
Oh, lovely. Oh, we're going to have fun this show. A little bit of housekeeping that we'll kick off with first. We're running some advertising on this show now. Hooray!
Hey.
We wanted to find a way to subsidize the cost of web hosting because that's expensive for the blog and podcast. But we wanted to be mindful only to pick products that we felt really good about, which is why we're happy to say right now that Tosche Station Radio and the blog are brought to you in part by Her Universe. For every Her Universe sale that originates from the blog and podcast, we get a 10% cut of the sale. And as you'd imagine, that would be really helpful to us to help pay for hosting costs and to help get some material for the staff to review. Plus, we get to support a really cool product.
Yes, so if you're going to buy Her Universe products, and you really, really should, click through our blog, because that would be lovely. And I thought we were already advertising Her Universe, because we talk about them all the time.
Yes, but now we can get monetary kickbacks for it, so we're going to have to do it every episode.
Yes!
Hooray!
So, what is Her Universe?
Her Universe is the most awesome clothing line ever. It is a geeky fashion line for women that was started by Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice of Ahsoka Tano on the Clone Wars animated series. And she basically saw that there aren't a lot of, you know, Star Wars shirts for girls. So she went to Lucasfilm and they allowed her to use the Star Wars license and they started making Star Wars shirts for women.
That's awesome.
And they have branched out into lots of other franchises now, like Star Trek and Doctor Who and some of the sci-fi original shows, Battlestar Galactica. And they're just really cool and all about, you know, geek girls and all that cool stuff.
That's rad.
Yep. So, and they had a Mara Jade shirt at Celebration.
So, yes, Her Universe. I guess we should have an official stinger or something for that announcement. Tosche Station Radio is brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other geek-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. That'll
Very
work,
nice.
Right?
Great.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
We'll run Micro Machines.
Why don't we go ahead and skip now and highlight what's been new on the blog since we last spoke with you all.
We've been quiet, unfortunately. But Bria went to KatsuCon, which is an anime convention near Washington, D.C., and she had a lot of fun and posted a roundup of all the costumes that she took pictures of. And there's Star Wars costumes and anime costumes, and possibly the most interesting one posted without comment is Sailor Deadpool.
Now, she had a section in that post entitled Costumes Bria Ran After Because Nancy Would Be Interested, right?
Yes, and they were gender-swapped Andra Ross and Emma Swan and Captain Hook. I approve.
A gender-swapped Les Mis character at an anime convention?
I'm shocked.
This just goes to show you, when you go to a geek convention, there is something there for everyone.
Yes, I personally like the He-Man, too.
Yes. Good stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much all the new original content that isn't news related. We kind of slacked off this last week. Sorry.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Lame.
And mine. And
but we have a podcast for you.
We do have a podcast for you. There's some new content this week in the form of wonderful audio things.
Yes. And I guess I'll talk about what I've been doing, because why I haven't written anything for the blog is because I'm writing a new book.
Oh, that old excuse.
I know.
We are, by the way, in the segment we like to call Fixer's Flash.
Oh, yeah, I skipped over that. I'm sorry. We're very professional on this podcast. But yes, I started writing a new book, and I'm very excited about it, and I'll talk more about it later. And we also caught up with Once Upon a Time, which got awesome again last week, thankfully.
Because the episode before this one was not.
The two episodes before that were kind of meh. Although I did figure out who the random guy from the real world is, said it was Ethan Embry, and I went, oh, okay, now I know who he is.
Ethan who now?
Ethan Embry, who was in...
Is that the kid from Can't Hardly Wait?
Yes, the wonderful 90s movie Can't Hardly Wait with Jennifer Love Hewitt's big hair.
I think you mean the most 90s movie.
Yes, it is the most 90s movie we
have. That movie holds up. That is still an amazing movie.
Seth Green is in that movie.
Lots of people are in that movie.
Melissa Joan Hart is in that movie.
Amber Benson.
Wow, that is a 90s movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, she's in like the background of like one shot. I don't even think she has a line.
Okay.
No, there's a ton of people. Clea DuVall, what's her face? That other person. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was really good this week. And I'm wondering how many more episodes they have this season, because it seems like they're getting, you know, stuff's about to happen. So we'll see.
I'm just happy to hear that Ethan Embry is still acting, because I haven't really heard from him since Can't Hardly Wait.
I know, right? Well, he was in, was Empire Records before or after that?
No, that was before, I think.
Okay. Well. Alrighty. That's what I've been up to, watching Once Upon a Time and writing. And watching HGTV.
Yeah. As for me, I wasn't up to a whole lot. I did go through my closet and get rid of a bunch of crap, mostly old electronics. Boy, I found my TI-84 or 83 plus graphing calculator.
Oh wow, fancy. I only had a TI-82.
I don't remember what I had.
See, I was the coolest kid in school because I had a port of Doom.
What?
On my graphing calculator. Doom. classic classic PC video game.
You never heard of Doom?
Oh, I thought you meant like a port of, like, it's a port of Doom. Not a port of Doom, the game.
Well, about the time I was in calculus, I was kind of thinking that.
Calculus is a port of Doom.
Yes. And we found our episode name for this.
Port of Doom, throwing that in the show notes right now.
Yes.
Also found an old Pentium 2 processor with mainboard. I have no idea why I kept that for the last 15 years, but I did.
Oh, never know, man.
Never know.
Oh. Sounds fun.
Oh, what about you, Matthew? You been up to anything interesting?
God, no. actually, the timing on this is kind of remarkable because just very recently I actually watched the Star Wars trilogy again for the first time in a very long time. Entirely coincidental. But I'm happy to report it's still good.
Yay!
Well, excellent. And I mean,
it's a good thing we're doing this podcast.
I was honestly pleased because, like I said, it had been such a long time since I'd seen it, and it hadn't been. I've been looking at films more critically of late, you know, both just in terms of my movie review podcast and also just in terms of trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work about films. And so sometimes these days I'll go back to old, you know, childhood favorites and with a certain degree of trepidation, worrying that I'm about to ruin some, you know, cherished childhood memories by revisiting something that should be revisited. And I mean, obviously I knew that wasn't the case with Star Wars because I've seen it fairly recently. But I was interested to see how it would hold up under a more critical eye. And thankfully it does. It's good.
I'm trying to remember the last childhood favorite movie I watched with a more critical eye that absolutely ruined it for me.
It was Gremlins for me.
Oh,
yeah.
I really liked Gremlins as a kid, and I watched it, like, I don't know, probably like 5 or 6 years ago, and it just did not hold up.
I actually watched The Last Starfighter pretty recently, like within the last year or so, and I still really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, like, some stuff totally holds up. I mean, Back to the Future and Ghostbusters, along with Star Wars, were like the movies that I watched over and over and over again as a kid, and they are still wonderful, remarkable films.
Yeah.
I'd have to go through my DVD library and see what was the last thing I watched that just did not hold up well.
That would be an interesting column. Write that down.
There's something to write about indeed. Well, with that, why don't we go ahead and move into a segment we call Deke's Dirt, News from Around Fandom, and we start with news that John Williams wants to score the sequel films.
Woo!
Yay!
To which I reply, duh.
I mean, I know J.J. Abrams has a really good working relationship with Michael Giacca, what's his face?
Giacchino,
there we go. Sorry, Giacchino. Sorry.
But it's John Williams, man.
Yeah.
You can't have Star Wars without John Williams.
Well, and I mean, I don't really have a horse in this race. I don't care one way or the other, honestly. But, like, just playing devil's advocate, I mean, the argument there is that we already know what John Williams' Star Wars score sounds like. Wouldn't it be interesting to see what a Michael Giacchino score would sound like?
Sure, and we can use that one of those spin-off standalone films.
Well, I can't imagine, like, people were saying, oh, well, you know, we have to see what J.J. Abrams will want to do. And I was like, listen, J.J. Abrams is a Star Wars fan. Do you really think he's going to be like, no, I'm sorry, John Williams, I got another guy to score these Star Wars movies? Like, no, that would be stupid.
And yeah, I don't think that'll happen now. No.
Yeah. And even if he did want to, Kathleen Kennedy wouldn't let him.
Yeah. We're like, listen, no.
Listen, JJ, if you could use John Williams for the score, yeah.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Or
it's
even
disappointed, though, that we won't get all the great punny song titles that Giacchino is so well known for.
True.
Oh, really? I don't know. I'm
oh, look at look at
it.
The track list of any of his soundtracks.
Oh, okay.
It's puns O'Rama.
Oh, great.
Now, I will say, I will take him over, like, say, Danny Elfman or James Horner. James Horner, he of the guy who wrote one soundtrack ever and used it in everything.
Oh, the heat of Apollo 13.
I like the Apollo 13.
That's not fair. He's written easily 3 or 4 soundtracks.
I mean, I like the Apollo
13.
Three
or four really good soundtracks.
I like the Apollo 13 soundtrack, but you could pretty much take that, put it in Avatar, and you have the same thing.
Apollo 13, Sneakers, Star Trek 2. These are good soundtracks.
Did he? He did Titanic. which has good music other than the song.
I do believe it is his fault we got that song, though. James Cameron didn't want that originally.
But whatever.
I'm sorry.
But no, I think you're safe. I think John Williams, you know, provided he lives that long, will probably do the music for the sequel trilogy.
Maybe he can do the first one and then kind of, you know, hand off.
Yeah, I have to think he is going to at least score episode 7.
Yeah. Oh my God, we're still talking about episode 7.
The most surreal thing to me is that I have a serious episode 7 tag on the blog. That's not a joke. It's an actual real tag that's getting actual real use for actual real news.
Yes.
Well, I know you guys are blown away by this, but I mean, Nancy, I said the same thing when you came on my podcast. It's just like, you know, when I was growing up, like, it was always sort of a given that there was going to be an episode 7. And so this is just, like, long-delayed gratification for me.
See, when I got into the fandom, there was all... It was like the Zom books had just come out. So between all the people who had said that those were 7, 8, and 9, and then there was, you know, all the people talking about, well, you know, Lucas wanted to do 1, 2, and 3. So by that time, everyone was talking about the prequels. And I remember telling my friend in like sixth grade, I was like, there's going to be more Star Wars movies. They're going to make, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3. And she's like, no, they're not. And so we made a bet. And then, you know, 6 years later, however long, in 1999, we went to the theater and she bought my ticket and popcorn.
Tell me you made another bet for this round.
No, but she did say, am I going to have to buy your ticket and popcorn at this movie? Oh, yes. But other news, Joss Whedon, our lovely Joss Whedon, talked about S.H.I.E.L.D., which I don't know what it stands for, so you can recite it, Brian.
Strategic Homeland Division.
Oh, you don't know it by heart. What are you?
There are, like, 3 or 4 different, like, seriously, like, just within the Marvel canon, and then there's something else for the movie, too. It's like they're... It means different things at different times.
Yeah, I think the movie has a different acronym than the 616 canon does.
I don't know any of them. I wasn't, you know, trying to sound smart there, I guess.
S.H.I.E.L.D. then.
Now, if our staff writer Bria wasn't watching Community right now, she'd have the answer for us and then be chastising us for not knowing it.
Well, she can yell at the podcast when she listens to it.
I am going to send out another tweet in about 2 minutes telling the East Coasters to get onto the live stream now that Community is over.
But yes, yeah, so Joss Whedon talked about the upcoming S.H.I.E.L.D. series, saying it's a very hopeful show, and it's about people trying to help one another, which is what he liked about the comic books. As for who will be in the series, Clark Gregg will be there, but he said not to expect too much Maria Hill because her schedule will permit very little. Aww.
That's really too bad, both because I really enjoy Kobe Smulders and I liked Maria Hill's character in the film, what we got of her, and also How I Met Your Mother has gone down the drain so far.
Oh, Kobe, please go do something else. That show is such a wreck.
They really need to just kill that show, you know, for its own good, but also so she can come onto S.H.I.E.L.D. more often.
Yes, there's going to be one more season of How I Met Your Mother, and that was about 4 seasons too many.
Yeah.
Although apparently in this final season, they're actually going to remember what the title of the show was.
I mean, it's the same thing with Lost. Like, that show went on, you know, for about 2 years too long because it was making money and the network didn't want to end it. And, like, you know, Damon Lindelof and those guys were like, please let us end the show. We're just treading water here.
Yeah.
That's why nothing happens in season 2 or the first half of season 3. And I'm, you know, I don't know what the showrunners of How I Met Your Mother are thinking, but I'm sure it's the same thing. The show is making money and people are watching it. So why would we end it? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't end up happening to Once Upon a Time, because with, you know, the exception of a few episodes, I think they've, you know, had a pretty good idea of you know, what they want to do with the story. And I was actually surprised with how stuff changed so much from the first season to the second season. So I'm hoping they don't be like, oh, everyone's watching us, let's drag it out and be stupid.
We can get concerned when they start running a very special episode of Once Upon a Time. Is that more of a 90s thing?
I think that was more of a 90s thing. Yeah.
Blossom! But, I mean,
that's sort of the challenge of, like, you know, serialized storytelling and television, because, you know, a long-form story, you know, by definition, just has a beginning, middle, and an end. And, you know, networks are still sort of used to the whole, like, you know, just let a show run for as long as it's making money, you know, the narrative structure notwithstanding. And so the idea that these things have a set beginning, middle, and end are hard for network executives to sort of come around on.
Yeah.
But which also sort of leads back to your point about, you know, Joss Whedon and how he S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be hopeful. And that, I mean, I feel like pretty much everything he's done up to that point has been sort of that hopeful theme. I mean, even the darker stuff like Angel still inherently was at its core a hopeful story about, you know, redemption and whatnot. So that's not surprising, but it's also nice to hear.
So essentially what Whedon's working on here is the anti-Battlestar Galactica.
Where you find out just how bad space can get.
In episode 7 rumor news, the Latino Review, which supposedly has broken some scoops before and has been right on some counts, says that Harrison Ford is in for episode 7.
I'll believe it when they announce it on StarWars.com.
And yes, as we like to remind you every week on this podcast, it's not official until someone at StarWars.com, Disney, or Lucasfilm says so.
Yes.
Now, I'm as skeptical of unsourced rumors as anybody, but I will say that I'm more willing to entertain the idea that something from Latino Review is accurate than I am, say, Ain't It Cool News.
Yeah.
Latino Review does have a pretty good track record, and I know a couple of the guys over there, and they're good human beings. Yeah. So
I think it's probably true, especially considering the next piece of news, which is Mark Hamill discussing the sequel trilogy and basically saying that Lucasfilm was talking to them. So, you know, pretty much what we know is they're talking about things, but nothing has been signed.
And that's the problem with the internet, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, people, you know, the idea that, you know, what's his face might direct a Seven Samurai version of Star Wars.
Zack Snyder,
yeah. You know, I'm sure that idea was tossed about, but then somebody repeated it to a reporter and it's being, you know, reported as fact. So.
Yeah. But, you know, Mark Hamill said that they're talking to us. George wanted to know whether we'd be interested. He did say that if we didn't want to do it, they wouldn't cast another actor in our parts. They would write us out. And I can tell you right away that we haven't signed any contracts. We're in the stage where they want us to go in and meet with Michael Arndt, who is the writer, and Kathleen Kennedy, who's going to run Lucasfilm. By the way, I love that that's how he describes Kathleen Kennedy. Both have had meetings that were set that were postponed on their end, not mine. They're more busy than I am.
Oh, poor Mark Hamill.
I love Mark Hamill, though.
Mark's got to be getting a lot of voice work still, though, right?
Oh, he does. But, I mean...
But running Lucasfilm is probably, yeah, you know, kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of.
Lots of moving parts.
Yeah. So, but, you know... The good thing is that they are talking to it, and I would have a very hard time imagining Mark Hamill turning it down, not because, you know, oh, he wants to be in a movie, but because he seems to be a lot more appreciative of Star Wars lately and has spoken, you know, highly of his time in the films and of Luke, and he always talked about how, you know, his ideas for what the other movies would be, and Luke would be like the Obi-Wan character, and, you know, as much as everyone loves Han Solo, the only like original character I could see having to come back would be Luke, just because, you know, to make that sort of transition to the newer generation, not because, you know, just because he's my favorite character, but
Yeah.
No, I mean, it makes some sense thematically. And
I totally agree with that. And I mean, as much as I do love Han and Leia, as much as I desperately want to see Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford return, yeah, thematically, structurally, Luke is probably the only one that's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. And then plus they can have him mention, you know, his hot redheaded wife who's off planet somehow. And everyone can, fandom can have a shitstorm.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I just want to see it because I'm a selfish, vindictive person, and I just want to see the people who are dancing on the expanded universe's graves to just freak out.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. But am I the only one who could absolutely take or leave Harrison Ford showing up?
Well, it depends on which Harrison Ford we get. If we get a Harrison Ford that's actually engaged in what he's doing, then that would be fucking fantastic. Sorry, can I curse?
Yes.
we're PG-13. We're PG-13. We get one F-bomb.
Came over.
Yeah. We've decided we can have one F-bomb per show.
Oh, sorry, I wasted it. But I mean, yeah, if he's engaged, then that's great. But if he's doing his, like, grumpy Harrison Ford paycheck thing, then, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, I just saw a Good Day to Die Hard with Bruce Willis playing that part. And it was, you know, I mean, it was a bad movie for a lot of reasons, but also because Bruce Willis wasn't the least bit engaged. And, you know, if Harrison Ford wants to show up and bring his A game, then that's amazing. That's awesome. I would love that. But yeah, if he's just going to be grumpy Harrison Ford, then, and I feel like he gets kind of a bad rap in the press because I'm assuming that he just doesn't like doing press and that he's kind of, you know, shy or whatnot, and that it's just not his thing. And I honestly haven't seen anything that he's been in recently, so I don't know if the level of his performances has been indeed going downhill as some people seem to be claiming. I don't know. Have you guys seen
the last
he's been
thing
in recently?
I saw him in was Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think that's really a fair thing to judge.
No, it's really not. I guess the next big test for him. I guess the next big thing for him is Ender's Game. Ender's Game.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. And I will definitely be seeing that. So.
Colonel Graf. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard to say I don't like Harrison Ford because I mean I really like Han, and I especially like Han in, you know, the books, or in some of the books, even more than in the movies. But it leaves a bad taste in my mouth when Harrison Ford talks crap about Star Wars all the time. And not just because I'm, you know, a super fan, but because it's like, you know, all right, we get you don't like Star Wars, and lots of people don't like Star Wars too. But, you know, I mean, gave you a crap load of money. And I mean, of him, of all the people, like, he at least broke out of it. You know, like, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill got typecasted for years, and now they're both at a place where they're like, yeah, Star Wars, woo! And, you know, one of the reasons I would love to see Mark Hamill come back, you know, not just because, oh my god, I would flip my lid to see Luke on screen again, but because I know he would be into it, and
he would bring his A game. Yeah,
and he'd be like, you know, I am Jedi Master Luke Skywalker.
And Harrison Ford, I mean, I feel like he has kind of mellowed a little bit, actually, in terms of some of the Star Wars talk, and maybe that's just because he knows that, like, you know, he's known for a while that the new ones are coming, and that, you know, he needs to, like, leave himself the option open to return. But, like, you know, I mean, I feel like, for me anyway, he won a lot of my goodwill back when he did that little sketch on, I don't even remember what late night show
Conan.
It was, but with Conan with Chewbacca.
Yes.
She's my wife, man.
No, that was Kimmel.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was Kimmel.
Oh, okay. It was hilarious. Yeah, that was hilarious.
I mean, that's funny. And I mean, it was like,
and at least, I mean, I know that he and George are, you know, they're friendly and stuff. So.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to just have him and Leia in the background, you know, and just have like a cameo and stuff. And
yeah, just as long as it isn't an hour and a half of Han Solo running up to people, grabbing them, and asking, "Where's my family?"
What?
You know, he had that run of films in the late 80s and 90s where it seems like his family was getting kidnapped every other week.
Oh. I didn't kill my wife.
Get off my plane.
Someone was always messing with his family.
Which is really stupid, because why would you do that? It's Harrison Ford.
It's like the Taken
movie. He
will
beat you into a pulp.
Yeah, it's like the Taken movies. Why would you kidnap Liam Neeson's?
I mean, he was Liam Neeson before Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. So that's Deke's Dirt for this week. News from around fandom. And with that, we go into a segment we call Cammy's Concerns, our discussion topic for the week. And this week, we're chatting with Mr. Matthew Bowers to talk about our new home, Star Wars, his projects, and other fun stuff like that.
Yep. Pretty much whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah,
I'm a discussion topic.
Yes, you're the discussion topic. imagine if you were. Well, now we're in a dim room and we're playing Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Okay. You know, it's less effective if you tell the subject ahead of time that you're doing Good Cop, Bad Cop.
I'm more imagining James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio getting his stack of cards. Now, Matthew, you began writing in a small town where...
I am now Googling James Lipton questions.
I guess now we have to end with that questionnaire. So start thinking of answers.
We are so doing that, by the way.
Oh, great.
So before we do that, though, can you tell us about Majestic Giraffe?
Sure. Well, it was just kind of I wanted a place for all of my creative stuff to live, you know, my stories, my novels, my films, my podcast. But I also wanted to be able to offer that space to, you know, people I know, creative people who, you know, maybe had something that they wanted to do or explore or put out there, but that they didn't necessarily have a platform for or vehicle for or know really how to do that. So, you know, in addition to just setting it up as my own sort of home base, I sort of want it to be available to people that I know and people I respect. If they have something that they want to share with the world, then, and you know, it's a creative endeavor that they're passionate about, then I'm totally up for, you know, helping them get that out there as best I can. I mean, it's certainly a modest organization, if you want to call it that at this point, a modest project. But, you know, I mean, it's just in its infancy, and I trust that, you know, as we all go along and build our own creative careers, and as people start to sit up and take notice, and other people come along and want to contribute their own creative projects to the mix, that it'll, I don't know if it'll become a, you know, multinational corporation. It probably won't. I hope it doesn't. But you know, it'll be something. It'll be a nice home for lots of different sorts of creative endeavors.
So if we've got listeners with some creative project they'd like to pitch, we can send them to majesticgiraffe.com.
You can email me actually at Matthew, MATTHEW, at majesticgiraffe.com.
Fantastic.
Okay. Now I first knew you through my friends, but then through Wrong Opinions About Movies, which is your movie review podcast. Could you tell us a little bit about it, how it started, anything you want to know about the show?
Sure. I mean, I basically started the podcast because I was frustrated that I didn't have anybody to talk about movies with. And, you know, I would listen to other movie podcasts like Opkino or Slash Filmcast or whatever with a kind of longing, you know, and a wish that I could, like, hang out with those people and talk about movies with them. And so I started my own podcast. I just said to some friends, hey, I'm doing this movie podcast. Do you want to join up? And thankfully, Allie and Katie said yes. And they've been wonderful to talk with. I feel like together we make a good trio, because Katie is very much interested in storytelling, and Allie is very much interested in the technical side of filmmaking, and I am, you know, sort of interested in both and all, and, you know, so I feel like we make a good triad, and you know, we have guests on to talk about, you know, if there's a specific, you know, like Nancy, we had you on when the Star Wars news broke, and sometimes we just have random people on from other podcasts if we just want to have a guest on. But I mean, it's just, it's been a lot of fun. You know, we've been doing it for like a year and a half now, 2 years maybe. We just posted episode 80. And it's just, it's fun. It's something to look forward to every week to talk with my friends about movies. It's been really great in forcing me to see more movies. And I've you know, made some contacts and friends with other film critics as well that I wouldn't have been able to do if I didn't have the podcast. So it's been a lot of fun, and I enjoy doing it, and I hope to continue doing it for a while.
And one of the things I like is that you match up a older movie with a new release.
Oh, and yeah.
Well, the themes that sometimes are very tenuous at best.
I mean, I wanted to do something that, you know, the format, I wanted to do a podcast format that I hadn't heard before. And I mean, there are, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of movie podcasts out there. So I'm sure somebody else is doing this, but none of the podcasts I listen to do like a classic film and a contemporary film. So yeah, I mean, every week we review whatever new movies in theaters. And then we also, yeah, do a classic film, and we try and link the two films somehow. I'm trying to think of some of our more tenuous links.
What was it with Jaws? What did you do when you had Jaws? I can't remember.
That one wasn't too tenuous. That was for the IMAX release of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, yeah, sometimes we'll do just something that just is totally off the wall. I mean, we did, you know, for when The Last Stand came out, we paired that with Mad Max because it was guys in the desert with cars. I mean, that's a pretty thin link. I mean, sometimes we'll do it based on the director. Sometimes we'll do it, you know, Side Effects came out recently, and we did that with Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which was Steven Soderbergh's first film. We did, you know, when John Carter of Mars came out, we paired that with Alita, Queen of Mars, which was, as far as I could tell, the very first film anybody did about Mars. And, you know, not really thematically relevant, but it was fun to watch, and it was fun to talk about. So, I mean, and a lot of the times we'll find more thematic resonance in the two films than we were really expecting. So that's always fun, too.
So you also are in the middle or have done a bunch of writing projects. And, of course, we like to give people a platform to pimp their projects here. So have at it.
Well, all right.
if I must.
I won't turn you down. Again, I feel awkward that this is like the second episode after you guys came just a giraffe and here I am talking.
Well, I will corroborate that, Matthew, offered to gifts on the podcast before we moved over. So
and not as any kind of like, if you let me talk about my projects. No, I just like talking, obviously. But yeah, no, I mean, I've there's a lot of projects that I'm working on at the moment, but I mean, probably the one that is most immediately relevant is Dragonpocalypse, which, despite the silly title, is something that I'm actually pretty excited about. I know I've always really enjoyed serialized storytelling, you know, either in TV or comic books or even serial novels like Stephen King's The Green Mile. So I thought it would be fun to do something like that. But I wanted a way not only to make this stand out and be different, but also to engage the audience in a unique way. So I decided not to write the whole thing in advance and then just parcel out one chapter at a time. But I decided I was going to write just a chapter at a time. And then at the end of each chapter, let the readers vote to decide what happens in the next chapter. So, you know, at the end of each chapter, Dana, the main character, she faces a choice, and the readers have four options to pick from. And then they go on my website and they vote for whichever one of the four options they want Dana to take, you know, based either on what they think would be the most reasonable choice or just what they would most want to see. And then after about 2 weeks, I close the voting, I tally up the votes, and I start writing the next chapter based on whichever option won.
I feel a flashback to my childhood.
Yes, to those books that the name is copyrighted, and so I can't actually call it one of those books.
Wait, you can't actually say the name of that?
I'm sure we can say the name of it. Choose Your Own Adventure books, but if I were to put Choose Your Own Adventure on the book, it would be Roundupon.
Aha, uh-huh, got it.
So it's sort of a, I've been just sort of advertising it as the serial novel where you decide what happens next, or as a branching pathways novel, and you can't see what I'm
making.
It's
a good thing we can at least say that on the show, because if not, we've got an IP lawyer coming to hit us up over the some episodes we've done in weeks past.
But the voting is, I just started it. Voting is still actually going on for chapter one, which, if you'll allow me to pimp, is actually, you can get chapter one available for free. You can get it for free on Goodreads or on majesticdraft.com. You can also buy it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It costs money there because they don't actually let you set things for free. But you can get it Goodreads or as a PDF on majesticdraft.com for free, and you can read it and vote for what happens next. And if you enjoy it, by all means, please leave reviews on Amazon or Goodreads and tell your friends and come back for chapter two.
Awesome.
And it's about dragons. I guess I didn't mention that. Space dragons come and destroy
everything. Space dragons.
And Dana has to, figure out what to do about that. So...
space dragons are so much better than regular dragons.
I know, right?
I can't dispute that. Space dragons are great.
Easily five or six times better than regular dragons.
And I'm pretty sure we can scientifically quantify that, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you brought up earlier that you talked about, you just recently watched Star Wars, so this question is, appropriate, since we're a Star Wars podcast. Of course, we have to ask you, when you first saw Star Wars, was it a, revelation, or was it just a cool movie? Or do you actually just hate Star Wars and you're just humoring us?
So much, Nancy.
See, that's the running joke. Nancy and I actually hate Star Wars.
I don't believe that. no, I mean, well, like I said, I watched it as a kid, and I mean, it's one of those movies that I don't actually remember the first time I saw it. It was just sort of always part of my childhood.
Yeah. So you were one of the people who always knew Vader was Luke's father.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I never got the reveal.
I didn't know. I didn't know when I saw it the first time.
Lucky.
I mean, I'm sure the first time I saw Empire was like such revelations. Like, I was probably so young that such revelations like that were just lost on me.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the implications of something like that. Because, I don't remember the first time seeing it. I remember weirdly for a brief time thinking that Jedi came before Empire, and then being confused when I was in the video store and I saw Yoda on the cover of the Empire box. I'm like, wait, he died in Jedi. How can that be? It's always been a part of my sort of film repertoire. It's actually funny watching Jedi now. It's kind of odd because I had taped Return of the Jedi off of a television broadcast and watched that tape over and over again. And so watching it now, watching the theatrical cut now, it seems oddly bloated to me because there are like little scenes here and there that were snipped from the television broadcast. For running time purposes.
I had the same thing. Heard it from TV, and they had always cut out like the scene after Han and Lando say goodbye. So that scene in the cockpit of the Falcon, like, it's always like, wait, is this supposed to be there? And I can't remember the other ones they cut out, but that's the main.
Well, yeah, like the scene where Han loans Lando the Falcon, the scene where R2 meets the droid overseer at Jabba's palace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The scene where the Ewok helps Leia distract the stormtroopers. Just little bits and pieces here and there, like nothing essential. And actually, it makes me look at Jedi with a more critical eye. It's like, oh, did you really need that? But Star Wars has always been part of my consciousness. Been a big fan since I was a kid, and so having had my heart broken with the prequel trilogy, it's really nice to be excited about Star Wars again now that they're doing a sequel trilogy, and the old man Lucas doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh no. I'm not going to defend my prequels because I've done that many times.
I mean, we can fight about prequels if you want.
No. No, that's fine.
I think that might be one podcast topic that Nancy is thoroughly tired of.
I understand.
Okay, so you're reading some of the EU books, and you are reading them in publication order, which I give 2 thumbs up to. That's how I think they should be read. Sorry, Bria, who is reading through the EU chronologically. Poor Bria. But you started with really awful books. Why?
Well,
you
because I'm reading
Center of the Mind's Eye.
Because that was the first
that's
EU book.
True.
I'm reading through chronologically, like you said. I mean, that's just how I like to do stuff. You know, I like reading the I like having the same frame of reference that the author did when they wrote it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if there are like, you know, if Timothy Zahn drops in an in-joke for Heir to the Empire in his Stormtrooper book, you know, I want to be able to get that, you know? I mean, I would anyway because I read Heir to the Empire, but you know what I mean. I mean, just like having the same material to draw on for my reading experience as the author did for the writing experience is how I like to do things. But I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, this is actually the first time in a long time I've been excited about Star Wars just in general. And it feels great. It feels like coming home because, like I said, you know, I was a huge fan as a kid. So yeah, I mean, there's a ton of EU stuff that I never read, and a ton of stuff that I read when I was younger, you know, when it first came out that I just don't remember. And so, yeah, I just thought I'd start at the beginning and go through. And so, yeah, I read Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which wasn't great. And then I read the Han Solo Adventures, which I'd read before and enjoyed before and which I still enjoyed this time. And then I read the Lando Adventures, which were awful.
Which is really sad because Lando deserves a good trilogy of books. He's criminally underused in the expanded universe.
They are. Have you guys read them? Have you read
no.
them?
No. No, and there's no money in the world you could pay me to read those.
They're so bad. I mean, they must have just wanted to cash in on the Return of the Jedi and like just hired the cheapest writer they could find. And so they found L. Neil Smith, who apparently now is like a big shot in like the Libertarian Party and the NRA and stuff like that. But I mean, he's a terrible writer. I mean, these books are awful. And I don't understand how they got published. Just so. And I mean, I know it was kind of a, you know, Jedi just ended. There were no more Star Wars anythings. You know, the expanded universe didn't really exist yet. They just wanted something to fill the void, I guess. But I mean, God, they could have done better than this. I mean, why didn't they get Brian Daley back to write some Lando books or something? It's just...
Oh, that makes me sad.
They're so bad. I mean, I can't even begin to describe how bad they are. But fortunately, the next expanded universe after the Lando books is the Timothy Zahn trilogy.
Boy, which, that's you know, one good. Extreme to the other.
Yeah, seriously. And I mean, I read those when they came out. You know, Heir to the Empire was a birthday gift for me on my 11th birthday. And I was so excited and it was so good. And it's so nice to go back and again, see that something I enjoyed as a child actually is still really good. And is actually probably better than I remember it being because, you know, there's nuances and just, you know, things that I don't remember that I didn't pick up on the first time. I mean, I've read them many, many times, but yeah. Again, it's been a while.
I read Heir to the Empire when the 20th anniversary edition came out, and it was really cool because it had the annotations in it. And it had been a while since I'd read it, and I was, you know, curious to how it would hold up because, you know, especially after the prequels, a lot of the stuff kind of was contradicted, but it holds up so well.
It really does.
And I mean, is they've actually come up with a retcon for the whole dating issue, but I mean, that's really easy to overlook.
And I mean, dates aside, which I mean is not something that I would ever notice.
Yeah.
But I mean, like dates aside, like I don't feel like the prequel trilogy really like invalidates too much.
Yeah.
Of Heir to the Empire, which is remarkable, especially considering, like, you know, spoiler alert, so much of the trilogy has to do with clones,
right.
Which is, you know, covered, you know, fairly in depth in the prequel trilogy. But like, there's no reason that those two storylines can't exist in the same universe, you know. So.
Yeah, and I think that was actually one of the things I liked about the prequels is that the clones ended up being the good guys, you know, at least in the beginning, because, you know, everyone expected them to be the bad guys because, you know, they're, you know, fighting against clones in the, you know, Thrawn trilogy and all that. And Timothy Zahn said that too, that he likes, that he liked that, you know, twist because, you know, that's the assumption he was writing under. And so it was kind of neat to be, you know, surprised.
But I mean, yeah, they're really well written, well constructed, well executed books. You know, Last Command, the climax is a little sloppier than I remember it being. I'm not talking about the stuff at Mount Tantis. Like, that was all great. Yeah. I'm just talking about the sort of peripheral stuff, at, you know, the shipyards that Bill bringing and whatnot. Like, that could have been handled a little tighter, I think. But, like, by and large, I mean, it's extraordinary. Yeah. And I was really happy to see how well it held up. And yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. You know, there's so many EU stuff that I haven't read. You know, Truce of Bakura is next because, again, I'm going chronologically in publication date. And I mean, I read that when it came out, but I don't remember it. And, you know, the only sort of latter day EU stuff that I've read is the New Jedi Order, which I enjoyed. I know a lot of people don't like that because it's like dark and weird and gross and Chewbacca gets hit with a moon.
The Jedi Order is kind of one of those hit and miss series. There are some great elements in some parts, which a lot of fat could have been trimmed out of the series.
Sure. I mean, some of the books are really, really good and some of the books are really, really bad. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I've been reading Star Trek tie-in novels for a really long time. And so I've sort of come to accept that in my franchise tie-in literature. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I remember enjoying those and I'll enjoy going back. And I mean, I'm enjoying my reread through the extended, my reread and my first time read in a lot of cases through the extended universe.
Cool.
Although it's just begun. So, like, you know, check in another couple months, I may be exhausted.
it'll take a while till you get there because it wasn't published that long ago. But Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mendor was one of my favorite books of recent years. So
I really liked that. I saw that one and I really liked that title just because it harkens back to the, you know, I mean, the one good thing about the Lando books are the titles.
Yeah.
I mean, like Lando Calrissian and the Star Cave of Thon Baca. I mean, utterly meaningless, but it sounds great. And so I like the sort of brashness of Luke Skywalker and the whatever it was you just said.
The brilliance of Shadows of Mendor is it's just like the title suggests. It's this brilliant, fun, pulp science fiction adventure.
Awesome.
Yeah, Matthew Stover was inspired by the Brian Daley books, basically.
Awesome.
And the my favorite part of Mendor is that it's kind of like a holodrama within a book. It's neat. And
well, I'm excited because I heard you or I saw you recently comment that The Courtship of Princess Leia was basically a Bollywood musical.
Yes. I wish we could really take credit for that one.
Yeah, that was Dunk from Club Jade had said that once. And so but that's what we all say because it's just kind of ridiculous as far as the characterization and stuff. So
well, there's a I'm stinking really musical number in there.
Solo, what a man, Solo.
Whoa.
sung by none other than C-3PO.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so it'll be fun. We're looking forward to seeing your thoughts on that. Bria in the chat says that insanity will set in.
I was just about to say something along those lines. I'm sure I'm headed down a rabbit hole that
although,
I will not pull myself out of.
Although you are not, I don't think you're holding yourself to the rigid standards that she is and that she only gave herself one amnesty week so far and she's starting to get the twitches.
I'm reading something else now and I'm excited to get back to Star Wars, but that's possibly because what I'm reading right now isn't very good. And I mean, I should point out I'm not gonna read everything. Like, I'm gonna skip the YA stuff and
you should read the Jedi Prince books.
I don't think I will.
I can't even say that with a straight face.
I mean, I remember when those came out and I remember, you know, even at the time, you know, I was 11 or 12 and thinking, okay, that's just Jabba the Hutt with a beard. That's really stupid.
I mean, you know what's bad? When 8-year-old me picks it up, reads through 20 pages, and says to himself, this is awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard enough getting through the Jedi Academy trilogy. I don't need to pile on.
Oh, you don't need to add Young Jedi Knight to that list?
No, I don't think so.
Aw.
Bria will be mad at you for saying that.
I will have to live with her disappointment.
but you get to read the X-Men series soon, which...
I do, which I have never read, so...
Oh,
you haven't read them. Ooh,
I have not read any of the X-Wing series.
Oh, yeah. If you can get through the first book, the rest is great.
Yeah. The first book can be a little bit dry, and Cornhorn is an insufferable ass.
Who's got to mansplain everything.
Yeah. But Mirax is cool, so... Yeah. So, yeah. Ending out our talk... We got sequels coming up, Star Wars sequels, and J.J. Yep. Abrams is directing them. And as you are a scholar of film.
Sorry, that's the first time anyone's called me a scholar of anything.
What are you looking forward to? And what are your feelings about J.J. Abrams? And what do you think he can bring to the... Obviously, you're excited about someone else having the reins other than Lucas, so...
Yes, and okay. I think that...
Okay, first off, do we want to get all the lens flare jokes out right now?
You know what? J.J. Abrams didn't invent lens flares. It's not like he's the first director to ever take a filter off his lens.
But my favorite thing is that in the Star Trek trailer, when his name comes on screen, there's a lens flare. Which is... me. I'm just imagining him going, okay, everyone. You know.
I mean, I really like J.J. Abrams as a filmmaker. I think he's a great director, and I think he's a great choice for Episode 7. I mean, for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, I just like his visual aesthetic. I think he's got a really neat style that goes well with the Star Wars universe, and he's a Star Wars fan. He has been, you know, for a long time, and so I think he'll be respectful to the tone and the themes of the original trilogy. And he has a great track record for sort of reviving flagging franchises. I mean, he took Mission Impossible and you know, his first film is Mission Impossible 3, and that's a great film. I mean, it's a really good movie. And then he did the same thing with Star Trek. You know, Star Trek had been sort of plodding along, dying a slow, painful death. And he takes it and he makes this amazing movie that manages to reboot the franchise and yet still stay true to the original franchise. And so, yeah, no, I'm totally excited for J.J. Abrams, you know, not just because I like him as a filmmaker. And he seems genuinely excited about, you know, pretty much everything he touches. I mean, he's a busy guy and he has a lot of fingers in a lot of different pies, but he seems really excited about all of them. But also because, yeah, I mean, I think he's a brilliant choice, and I think he'll do a really good job.
We were joking on the podcast when it was announced. What did Kathleen Kennedy say to him to get him to say yes?
There's blackmail. She's got some kind of blackmail, and we all know it.
What are you kidding? He's been a huge fan. She said, "Will you do this?" And he said, "Oh my God, yes."
Well, because I remember hearing originally he said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And then he's like, "Oh, fooled you."
I mean, I imagine he just hadn't been asked yet.
Yeah. And they're like, "Wait a minute, we want him to do this."
Yeah, I can't imagine that there was any sort of negotiation or, like, you know, you know.
I had read that there was a lot of hesitation on his part, but Kathleen Kennedy went and made one hell of a pitch to get him on board.
I'm sure he was nervous. I'm sure he was like, "Oh my God, I can't do this justice." But yeah, I mean, I'm sure once she talked him down a little bit that he was more than willing.
Oh my God, the fanboys are going to come get me.
but yeah, no, I think it'll be fantastic.
And any thoughts on Michael Arndt handling the screenplay?
You know, I'm not too familiar with him. What else? I should have looked this
he
up.
He did Little Miss Sunshine.
Brave. Toy Story 3? Yes. Sorry, I'm now going to pull up his IMDb page.
Well, I know the film that currently is in production, and it was Catching Fire. So.
Right, which we haven't seen yet. But yeah. I mean, you know, both with Toy Story 3 and Brave, you know, they're Pixar movies, and so there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and so it's hard to credit him either with, you know, the brilliance of Toy Story 3 or the kind of lackluster nature of Brave too much. But I mean, you know, Little Miss Sunshine was fun. Yeah, I mean, I think the big test will be Catching Fire, just to see, you know, if he can take what's not a very good book and turn it into a compelling and engaging film, especially after the mess that the last film was.
Throwdown.
Yeah, Hunger Games sucks, by the way.
These opinions are not held by your Tashi Station host.
No, they are not.
Oh. Well, that's
I will say that of the books, well, no, Hunger Games is probably the best of the books, but I mean, there's no reason that Catching Fire can't be a good movie. You know, I mean, I said the same thing when Hunger Games came out. You know, I was looking forward to the film because, I mean, despite the weaknesses in the prose, I felt like there was no reason it couldn't be a good movie, and it wasn't. But I still feel like there's no reason that Catching Fire can't be a good movie. I don't see any way that Mockingjay can be a good movie because that book is a hot, hot mess, and you'd have to do some serious entangling to make sense of that. But, you know, Catching Fire could be good.
I'm looking forward to your review, your podcast review of Fire.
I'm sure it will be an echo of the Hunger Games review where Katie and Allie, and in that case, I think we had a guest from Opkino on there, all telling me I was wrong.
So. Yes, I was doing that as well through my headphones. Oh, okay. Anything else you want to pimp before we, while you have us at your mercy?
No, I think I've whored myself out enough all my various projects.
Yeah, so listeners, you can find Matthew's stuff at majesticgiraffe.com, and do be sure to give a listen to his podcast, Wrong Opinions About Movies.
Yes, which is also at majesticdraft.com or at wrongopinionsaboutmovies.com, or you can subscribe in iTunes.
Yay!
And you can find me on Twitter, MR Bowers.
Fantastic, and that's going to wrap up Cammy's Concerns this week, our chat with our new podcast overlord, Matthew Bowers.
God Emperor.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting another question for our final segment. Let me throw
We didn't give Matthew our questionnaire.
Oh, right, the questionnaire.
Matthew, what is your favorite word?
Favorite word?
Yes.
Indubitably.
What is your least favorite word?
Queef.
Oh.
And in a really interesting segue, what turns you on?
What turns me on? Sexy librarians.
And what turns you off?
Queefs? I don't know.
Okay. I'm not going to ask the next one.
No filter, by the way.
What sound or noise do you love? We'll skip these ones.
What sound or noise do I love?
Yeah.
I really like the sound of... I don't know.
All right. What sound or noise do you hate?
Like spitting, or like people like sort of clearing phlegm from their throats. It makes me want to vomit.
Okay. We'll skip the next one to try to remain family friendly. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I don't have a profession right now. I'm unemployed. But if you're referring to other than sort of the filmmaking writing sphere, I would really love to learn how to play piano.
Oh, what profession would you not like to do?
I have so far avoided anything in food service, and I would really like to continue that streak.
Good choice. Finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Um, Good job, man.
Simple and sweet. Okay, and with that, we're going to move to our final segment, a segment we call Ask Us Anything, where we solicit questions and we will answer them. Yes, we will. All of them.
Maybe.
Staff writer Bria asks, will either one of you read The Crystal Star along with me, please? No.
I will.
Matthew will.
We won't.
Praise. Is it bad? Is it not good?
Oh, God. The Crystal Star may be one of the worst Star Wars books ever.
Really?
And think of the problem.
Is it worse than Darksaber?
Maybe?
No.
Because I don't remember much about Darksaber except that it was really bad.
No. Well, the problem with The Crystal Star is that it's not really a Star Wars book. It's really weird, and it involves this interdimensional being named Waru, who's a giant blob. And Luke goes into Waru, and it's really weird.
Wait, I want to change my answer for what turns me on.
Waru.
Luke going into Waru, specifically.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Moving on, Bria also asks, and she prefaces this with, you are not allowed to try and foist this off on me. What Star Wars costumes have you not seen at a convention that you would like to see?
Any Talon cards.
Yes!
I have never seen any Talon cards, and I don't understand why. Because you are basically cosplaying as the coolest person in the Star Wars galaxy, and why would you not want to be him? Seriously.
I don't think I've ever seen a Garm Bella Bliss, so I'll go with that.
That would also be cool.
How would you cosplay as either of those, though? I mean, they're just like dudes, right?
Well, they have, there's, you know, official images of Card, because he has, they had the comic adaptations, and they did a CCG card that Timothy Zahn posed for, actually.
Oh,
so
really?
Timothy Zahn is kind of the canon version of Talon Card. So I guess you could, Timothy Zahn could cosplay as Card. But yeah, I've never seen any like Card cosplayers, and it makes me sad. So they can get a Card and a Mara, and that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'd be down with that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I want to get one of those like big playing card costumes and wear like claws. And call myself Talon Card.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, no.
Talon Card, come on.
You're fired.
Oh, I don't abide bad puns.
Now is the time when I tell the story about how I didn't get the pun of the wild card because I pronounced his last name wrong for like 5 years. I thought it was like Carod or Cardi. And then one time it just clicked in my mind, wild card. Oh.
Next question. Aaron Goins asks, do you guys have any advice for a rookie podcaster who is recording his very first episode tomorrow?
I will.
And Aaron, if you're in the chat, please tell me the name of that podcast again so I can pimp that on the show right now.
I will say to have show notes but not feel married to them. That's my advice.
That is actually good advice.
Make sure you have a good microphone. And headphones, because otherwise, I mean, that sounds really simple, but it's really important, you know. Yeah. Good microphone, headphones, so that, you know, microphone obviously so that you sound okay, and headphones so that there's not an echo. Don't say all the time like I do.
I am so guilty of that. Actually, I'm looking up right now a microphone I can recommend to you.
You have a whole post that you can recommend.
I do, but I just saw a new one that I really like that I'm going to recommend in all of its places. An Audio-Technica ATR-2100 USB microphone. You'll be very happy with that. It'll give you some nice sound, and really a nice microphone will help your podcast an awful lot, so it doesn't sound like you're talking into a cell phone and recording the entire thing.
I will say, though, that, I mean, do a few episodes before you get crazy about, you know, buying new equipment and whatnot, because you might not like podcasting. You know, it might not be your thing. So don't go crazy and buy a bunch of equipment and then have a bunch of equipment that you're never going to use.
Yeah, so don't go blow money on this $160 mixer I have here and this $200 microphone I've got in front of me. Go grab this Audio-Technica ATR-2100 microphone that costs $35.
That's a reasonable starting buy-in price for a podcast.
And also, don't be afraid to trash your first podcast.
We did. Our first episode got trashed.
That might be the best thing you could possibly do. It's like when you write a book. Usually it ends up not being the first thing you ever publish because it's terrible.
Yeah, our first episode got trashed. The first episode you can see at the blog is actually the second episode we recorded together.
Yeah.
My first episode is still up at wrongandgamingpodcast.com. So if you want to hear what a first episode sounds like, go do that, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, and listeners, the name of this podcast Aaron is starting is the Star Wars Bookworms. As soon as their podcast is up, we'll definitely be sure to link to it on both Twitter, Facebook, and the blog. So go look out for that.
Yep.
And our final question, Aaron also asks, do you guys dislike Boba Fett so much that if you got a spinoff movie, you would not go see it?
I would go see it.
I'd go see it as well, but I wouldn't be doing a midnight premiere, and I probably wouldn't even go see it on the first day.
But if it was Boba Fett from, like, well, A, from the movies, or, damn it, I can't say what I want to say. But you know what I want to say, Brian.
Yes, I do.
If it was Boba Fett from the movies and not from, like, certain, like, Legacy of the Force books and the Fate of the Jedi books, then I'd be okay with that. Or if he was more like Django, because I liked Django a lot. I really liked Django.
So if Boba Fett was actually a bounty hunter and not this uber tank character that he's been portrayed as in the expanded universe?
Yes, I would like that.
Well, I mean, why would... a Boba Fett movie is just... It's a terrible idea. Why would you do that? It's... Boba Fett is cool and interesting because he's, like, mysterious and doesn't say anything and is just sort of hovering around in the background being menacing. That's not something you can base a whole film around.
And if you go by that...
You do that and he loses his mystique and his interestingness and his menace. I mean, look what happened to the Borg in Star Trek. As soon as we started learning about them and the Queen and all that bullshit, it just became ridiculous. It's the same thing. No Boba Fett movie. I would see it because I see everything, but I wouldn't enjoy it.
And I'd use a lot of this reasoning for why I also don't want a young Han Solo movie.
Yeah, well, also because we have that story already. I still say I would watch young Han Solo in the Imperial Academy.
I would watch a film version of Han Solo at Star's End.
Yeah.
I could go for that. Although I wouldn't mind a Han Solo movie set sometime after Return of the Jedi in which you hire Nathan Fillion to play Han Solo, but that's just
there
me.
You go.
Han Solo and Wraith Squadron.
Sold.
Yep. Solo Command right there. That would be awesome.
And you just bring Whedon in and just make all the deaths and all the tragedy that much more painful.
Yeah, Matthew, when you get around to the Wraith Squadron books, oh God, they're terrible. we once had an in joke that Aaron Alston and Joss Whedon were actually the same person.
Excellent.
So yes, if you like Whedon, you'll love those books.
Yeah. Make you love a character and then boom, dead.
That's kind of how I try to operate in my creative creative life.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show there. We'd like to remind you again that Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe, Flaunt Your World. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles @Tashi_station. That is the official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. Matthew, what's your Twitter handle again?
M.R. Bowers, B as in boy, O.W.E.R.S.
Fantastic. Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We are available in the iTunes store. Well, we're working on that. We're going to be back up on iTunes shortly. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.